Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your songbooks and turn to Song 429. Song 429. We're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I've just missed the Christmas songs so much that I have to sing this one. And if you would stand, we'll sing song 429. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as men with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just want to thank you, God, just for, Lord, all your provision, God, all of your mercy, all of your grace. Thank you for our church, your word, and our pastor. I pray, Lord, now that you would just be honored and glorified of everything that's said and done. We love you, for it's in Jesus' name we ask all of it. Amen. All right, you may be seated and take your Mountain Baptist psalms, hymns, and spiritual songbooks. Your Mountain Baptist songbooks, and turn to page number 5. Page number 5 in your songbooks. And we'll sing Psalm 81 on page number 5.
Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp, psalm to read. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went down through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, deliver thee. I answer thee in the secret place of thunder. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah, hear, O my people. And I will testify unto thee, O Israel, without hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people hearken unto me. And Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversary. The haters of the Lord should have submitted, should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey. Out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Out of the rock should I have satisfied thee.
Amen. Well, welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church on this Sunday evening here. I want to get the soul winning numbers for this week and today. Was there any during the week as far as soul winning? One? Okay. And then today, I know our group had one. Was there any others today? One, so that's three, four, five. Okay. Any others? Well, we didn't have to shoot anybody today, so that's good. That's always like a good way to end the soul winning day or, you know, stuff like that. But definitely always be in prayer for our soul winners. It's perilous times out there. So there's some really unhinged people that are out there. Praise the Lord. The Lord has delivered us from unreasonable men. You know, it's one thing to get pushed and shoved and everything else. You know, obviously, we don't want anybody to actually get hurt. So, but, you know, Jesus said, buy a sword for a reason, not just, you know, just for looks. So, anyway, just be careful out there. Obviously, anytime anybody is, like, being unreasonable and stuff like that, you just want to get out of that situation the best you can. And just get away. You're not trying to fight the battle with them. So anyway, all that to say is that everybody's safe. That's good. Yeah, just know that stuff can happen. You just got to get out of the situation. So when it comes, and I'm switching my sermon to Black Hebrew Israelites Exposed tonight. So I don't have any notes on it, but you know, I don't need them. So no, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that. But you know what? I am preaching on angels and devils. So, you know, the devils, I mean, that would apply, right? So, anyway, all joking aside, we have our service time should be normal this week. Wednesday evening is our Bible study through the book of 1 Samuel. And when it comes to the original soul winning times, just be on the church group there. I know things are maybe a little out of place or just some are out. Be in prayer for Brother Wade. I know he's traveling abroad. And so be in prayer there as far as travel mercies. And I don't know how the prayer meeting went today with the ladies, but I'll ask my wife later and see what happened there. But and then the men's prayer meeting is coming up this Friday, so it'll be on the 23rd there. So as far as our Bible memory for the month, we have Jonah chapter 1 is our chapter memory for the month, and then Hebrews 13:8 is our memory verse for the week. We got the birthdays this morning, be in prayer for all the ladies on the pregnancy list there. And so Anastasia, Tabby, Crystal, be in prayer for all these ladies. Be in prayer for the, those that just had, I think of Alyssa, just had a little one. And so just be in prayer there with the recovery process and all that stuff when it comes to the pregnancies. I think that's about all I have for announcements that I can think of. Yeah, unless you can think of something. That's it. So, offering boxes in the back there if you want to give Tyler an offering. Other baby rooms for the mothers and babies only. Brother Joseph's going to be reading Ezekiel chapter 1 after we do one more song.
All right, take your songbooks and turn to song 280. 280 in your songbooks. We'll sing Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, song 280. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home. Who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 1. Ezekiel chapter number 1 in your Bibles, and we'll have Brother Joseph read that for us.
Ezekiel chapter 1. And if you found your place there, go say amen. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, and the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And about of the mist thereof, as of the color of amber, and out of the mist of the fire. Also out of the mist thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. And they went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had a face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, and with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, and the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, and one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on his side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament, what that was over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as appearance of a man above it, upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire, round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. That was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you for this time we're able to gather again. Lord, I thank you for your pure and holy word you've given to us. Lord, I ask you to be with Pastor Robinson, edify us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So you're there in Ezekiel chapter 1. Did you get all that when it comes to the cherubims? In this chapter, we don't actually see him called that. But I'm going through this part 3, if you will, of angels and devils. And this sermon is going to be more so dealing with the appearance. So the appearance of angels. I'm going to be more so just dealing with angels, not the devils tonight. But I just kind of wanted to go through this as far as specifically the cherubims and the seraphims, as far as just getting an idea of what they would look like, but also the fact that that angels can also appear like men. So they aren't always going to look like the cherubims here, you know, when it comes to that. Now, I think that, honestly, we have a depiction in writing as far as what they look like. But I believe back in the Old Testament when they were building the tabernacle and they built the Ark of the Covenant, that they actually knew exactly what they looked like because the Lord showed Moses in the mount exactly how it was supposed to look. Therefore, I think that depiction would have been accurate. But I think now we can't really speak particularly about it. We can just read about it and just kind of imagine what we're seeing when it comes to that. So in verse 4 here, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man." So the first thing that we see about these living creatures, which later on we're going to see that they're called cherubims or cherubs, and is the fact that they have a likeness of a man. So what I believe it means by that is they're each going to have four faces. But the thing is that I believe they're going to stand like a man, right? So you think about like a living creature, like an animal. You know, a lot of animals are like four-footed beasts, and therefore they're going to have that kind of appearance, that kind of walk to them. But I believe what it's basically stating is that they look kind of like in a figure as a man, as far as the dimensions go and all of that, okay? So the other thing that you're going to see with angels is that fire is associated with them. And so what do we see from the very first here is that we're talking about fire enfolding itself, and the color is the color amber, and amber is kind of like an orange-reddish color. And the fact that angels are... making his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire, right? So when it comes to angels, you know, fire is usually associated with that, as far as being around them, having the appearance of fire, and so that's just something to note when you're dealing with the angels. Obviously, angels of light, and the fact that obviously fire gives off light. But just because it's light doesn't necessarily mean it's fire. So meaning this is that there's a it talks about John the Baptist being a shining and a burning light. And so, you know, you can have both those elements in there. But I think when it comes to angels, especially the cherubims here, is the first thing that we see is that they're kind of coming out of this fire, but also they have this appearance of a man. It says in verse 6, it says, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Now, this is something that's stated over and over and over again. So there is no doubt that each one of these creatures has four faces each. Because when you go to Ezekiel chapter 10, actually go to Ezekiel chapter 10 real quick, in verse 20, because it's kind of recapping what was seen at the river Kebar. But I just want you to see that, one, they're called cherubims, but also there's no doubt that they each have four faces, okay? Now, that's interesting in itself right there. You can just stick right in me like, four faces? How does that look? How does that work, right? But in verse 20 of chapter 10, it says, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river Kebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. So it's very, these are the cherubims, right? It says, everyone had four faces apiece, right? So no doubt each one of them had four faces. It says, everyone four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man was under their wings, and the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river Kebar, their appearances and themselves. They went everyone straight forward. So there's a lot of this in this chapter is kind of repeating over stuff, but I can only imagine Ezekiel's trying to explain this in words, right? He's seeing it, but how do you put this down in words? Like, how do you explain this, right? And so I'm just going to kind of be going through this and just, you know, try to picture in your mind what's being said here. But so they have an appearance of a man. They each have four faces. We're going to see what those faces are. And they each had four wings. It says, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. So they obviously kind of look, you know, there's this appearance of fire, but then they kind of like look like polished brass that's sparkling. But then it talks about their feet. They don't have feet like we do, right? It's not like a, you know, 10 toes, you know, foot, like a human foot. It's like a calf's foot, meaning that it's kind of like they're the bottom torso, if you will, is more like a calf or an ox, okay? Interesting, right? And then it says in verse 8 there, it says, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. So when it says their wings are joined together, I imagine, like, if you think about how a bird's wings are joined in the back, right? And then they flap. I think all their wings are joined at the same spot, if that makes sense, right? So if you're looking on the back of them, they would be joined like this, top ones, bottom ones, you know? So I think it's just basically saying that's where they connect. They all connect at the same point, right? And with the cherubims, you know, two they're flying and two they're covering their self. And then the seraphim is kind of the same thing, only they have two more that are covering themselves, right? Anyway, going on from that, we see that they move straight forward. Now, it's going to state this again, which kind of explains maybe why they have four faces, okay? So I want you to just think, if you will, a creature that has four faces in each direction, like a face in each direction, right? So if you had the fact that they can only move straight forward, they don't turn. That's the notion that we're getting, is they don't turn when they go. They just go straight forward. So if you imagine they're kind of going in a straight line, straight line, straight line, straight line. So it's kind of like an orthogonal type of movements that they're doing. And so they don't turn. You know, they stay one direction. But to get somewhere, they would come and kind of go in an orthogonal direction. The thing is that you say, well, that seems like it's going to take them some time, except for the fact that they move like lightning. So it doesn't take them any time to get over there. It's just kind of this kind of like orthogonal type of movement that has to be done to get to you, okay? So anyway, going on from that, here's the faces. It says in verse 10, As for their likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. So, there's the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Now, personally, the way I think that this would look is the face of the man is going, like if you were to think of front, right? If there is a front, right? You know, as far as you're looking at that, the face of the man would go in front. You have the, make sure I get it right here. The face of the lion on the right side, the face on the ox on the left side, and then the face of the eagle will be going the other direction. So basically, they have all sides covered, so therefore when they move, they'll see what they're looking at, right? It just depends on where you're at as far as which face you're going to be seeing, okay? So, and then in verse 11 it says, thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. So basically, the same thing happens with the seraphims, where they're covering their bodies with some wings, and then they're flying with the other ones. So it says in verse 12, it says, and they were went everyone straight forward, whither the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. Like I said, they have this appearance of fire, which is what the Bible says about angels, is the fact that, you know, their ministers are flaming fires or flames of fire, you know, depending on if you're looking at the Old Testament or New Testament when you're looking at that. But you'll see this throughout when you're actually seeing these angels in kind of in the real world, if you will. Not that this isn't the real world, right? But he's seeing a vision. And meaning this is that when you see stories where angels appear, a lot of times what you're seeing is fire. There's flaming fire going on and all of that. So they have this obviously appearance of fire, and it says, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures, in verse 14, ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So remember, it's kind of orthogonal, meaning this is that you're going straight, you know, depending on which way you're going. But they're so fast that if they had to get over here, like that movement over there would be like lightning. And you think about how does lightning usually move in the sky, but it's kind of, you know, in this kind of, not necessarily orthogonal, right? But it is kind of in that zigzag type of realm. So when it says they move like lightning, you can kind of get the picture of how they're moving, where they're going, okay? So interesting. Now, you know, God created them. And there's a lot of creatures out there that you're looking, you're like, why did God create him that way, right? And I'm not giving you the why. I'm just telling you what it is, right? You know, this is what they look like. This is what they do. This is how they move. But going on from that, they move and like lightning. It says, now as, in verse 15 there, now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, with his four faces, the appearance of the wheels. Now, here's where you get into this wheel stuff, okay? And really, what it comes down to is that there's, beside the creature, right? So if you imagine this four-faced creature that has hands of a man, that has four wings, calf's feet, looks like the appearance of fire, has this wheel that's basically next to them, and what it comes down to is that the spirit of the living creature is in the wheel, okay? So, you know, it says the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and therefore they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So I don't know if you've ever seen, like, obviously they have this type of stuff that's just fun to play with, right? Where you have, what are those things called? Those little things that you spin with your fingers? Fidget spinner, is that what it is? Yeah. So fidget spinners, okay? So I got all the kids' attention now, right? Fidget spinners, right? That's cherubims, you know, their spirit is in there, right? So, but what's a wheel within a wheel? But something kind of like that, right? Where you kind of have a wheel inside of a wheel that's spinning. And And so this is something, I think that there's maybe truth in the fact that, like, when you think about a spirit that keeps going, stuff like that, and you think about something that's round, like a wheel and all that. Anyway, all to say, I'm not really trying to get into the why, I'm just telling you what it is. There is this wheel within a wheel, and it talks about the fact that the spirit is within that wheel. Now, it could be that the wheel is not necessarily like we think of a wheel as far as like kind of a more, but more so like a sphere maybe, where you have kind of a sphere within a sphere, because sometimes wheels don't necessarily have to be, you know, like we'd have on our cars, right, where just one side is round, but more so just the whole thing. You know, you've had those wheels, right, where like it's on like a chair or something like that where they're just completely round. It's just like a ball, essentially. It could be something like that. It doesn't necessarily, I'm picturing like wooden like spoked wheels that are within a wheel, just to be honest. That's what I imagine when I see that. It's on fire, so how does that work? But you know what? The burning bush didn't get consumed. So, but it could be something that's more like a sphere where it's within the wheel and it's moving within itself and you can see it moving within itself. But basically, it says in verse 20 there, or verse 19, it says, the living creature went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went, thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. So take it for what it is. When the creatures moved, and they would move like lightning, the wheel would go with them. Now, I don't believe it was delayed, although in my mind, for some reason, it's delayed, right? And you're probably like, what do you mean by that? Meaning, like, they start lifting up, and then the wheel's like, oh, here we go. You know, it's kind of like they lift up, and then the wheel's kind of going up with it. I don't think it's necessarily like that. I think it's just making a point that the wheel is always next to them, and that's where their spirit's at, okay? And so definitely unique creatures compared to human beings. Like, we don't have, a wheel following us around, right? And so it's definitely very interesting to think about. It gets into, after the wheels and all that. In verse 22, it says, in the likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was as the color of the terrible crystal stretching forth over their heads above. Now, what I personally believe this is talking about is heaven. So, meaning this is that it talks about these cherubims kind of being under the throne and like the throne being above them, okay? So, when you're dealing with the firmament, what I think about is the fact that when the heaven and the earth was created, right, it talks about how God created the firmament, and that was where the fish, I mean, not where the fish, where the birds fly and the air, essentially our atmosphere. But then he talked about the firmament where the sun, moon, and stars are at. But I believe that there's a third firmament or a third heaven, which would be where God's throne is at. So when it's talking about a firmament here, I don't think it's necessarily talking about like something attached to the creature itself, but more so that where they were at, above them was this firmament. And that's where the throne was at and everything. So, you know, that's something that, you know, you can fight me on that if you want. As far as what you think that is, but I don't want to read through all this just for sake of time. It talks about their rings and stuff like that. It talks about being full of eyes. This could very well be, you know, like when you think of angels, what do you think about? This halo above their head. It could very well be that there's like this ring above their head, you know? But I don't think it's like the cartoon ring, you know, like where it's like this gold ring that's like you die, you get this like halo over your head kind of thing. But it could very well be that it has something to do with that. I don't know. I'm just being honest with you. There's certain things where I'm just like, your guess is as good as mine as far as what that is exactly talking about. So with the cherubims, you know, that's definitely interesting. The thing that's interesting about the cherubims is that the devil was a cherub. Okay, so go to Ezekiel chapter 28, and it gives a little bit of an idea of him when it comes to what he looked like, okay? Because these four cherubs, these cherubims, they all four had one likeness. So It seems like it keeps stating over that they all each had this appearance. They all look, basically, the four cherubims looked exactly alike. The seraphims are going to look different. You know, there's four of them, but there's like, but they look different when it's talking about them. But the devil, on the other hand, in Ezekiel 28, I believe this is before he falls. Okay, so this is basically talking about what he was like before he fell. And notice what it says in verse 13. So Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. It says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." So that's very interesting. Those are musical instruments. Right, you kind of think about, he was decked with all this beauty, right? And it talks about like how his beauty basically puffed up his heart and all this stuff, right? So I believe Lucifer was a very, you know, beautiful, like just astonishing creature. And he was lifted up with pride, obviously. But also, I believe he was also cunning in music. And so, no marvel that the devil obviously has his hand in music in the world when it comes to worldly music and things that are against God. And so, it's definitely interesting to see that. But notice in verse 14, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." So notice, he's called a cherub, and he was the anointed cherub. So he was a specific cherub that had a specific job. And when you think about it, really, the only one that kind of that even comes close to Lucifer or to the devil would be Michael, the archangel. Right? It's always Michael and the devil fighting each other, and it's Michael and his angels, and it's the devil and his angels, and they are going at it with each other. But you know, Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. And what you'll see with the cherubs and the seraphims is that they're around the throne and they're basically using their wings to cover. Think about the cherubims. What are they doing on the Ark of the Covenant? Covering the mercy seat. So, you know, one of their big jobs is to use their wings to cover certain things. Now, this is a complete tangent, but this could very well be what 1 Corinthians 11 is talking about when it talks about women covering their head. And it says, because they have power on the head because of the angels, okay? And all I'm saying with that is that I'm not dogmatic on that. But it does seem like the cherubims and the seraphims, like one of their major jobs is to cover the glory of God, right? Meaning like you have the glory of God that's on his throne, and then you have these wings that are covering it. And, you know, the women are the glory of the man, and the man is obviously the glory of, you know, we're the image and glory of God, and the fact that we're made in the likeness of God, you know, in the image of God. But then the women are made in the, you know, the glory and image of man. And there's that covering that's there with their hair, you know. And it could be some truth to that, you know. That's pretty much all I got when it comes to that explanation, when it comes to why, besides nature itself telling you that women should have long hair and men should have short hair, that it's just common sense. That's just the way we're made. It's the way we're wired. But if you want to know maybe the why, that could be dealing with that. As far as that women are made to help the man, the angels are ministering spirits for man, you know, and just that avenue of what you're dealing with there. Anyway, go to Isaiah chapter 61, or Isaiah 6, verse 1. Isaiah 6, verse 1. And let's look at the seraphims really quick. We don't have as much of a dissertation on the seraphims as we do the cherubims. But they are a little different. So at least when you're singing, what's the song where it says the cherubims and seraphims? Holy, holy, holy. Yeah. So when you're, which makes sense to Isaiah 6 and to Revelation, is the fact that when it talks about the seraphims, you know what they're talking about. You know, I believe these are all angels. But I think that there's angels that appear differently, right? The cherubims and the seraphims do have some differences. And let's just see what that is. So in Isaiah 6 and verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is that you see the seraphims above. The cherubims, you see there's a firmament above their heads, right? But you say, well, you know, Lucifer was the covering cherub. Well, he's obviously distinct to the cherubims in the fact that, you know, he was the anointed cherub that covereth. And so it doesn't necessarily say he was above, right? But there may be something to that as far as their job. But verse 3 there, it says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Again, in Ezekiel 1, we saw that the cherubims are called living creatures, and we know the cherubims because in chapter 10, it says the living creature, which are the cherubims, right? So we know that the living creatures are the cherubims. Here we know these are seraphims because it says it, but in Revelation chapter 4, it doesn't say seraphims, it calls them beasts. So living creatures, beasts, that's just another way of saying an animal, right? Obviously, we're living creatures, but we're different from animals. We're not beasts, okay? And so that's where you get into more so you're dealing with the fact, and I think that is an interesting fact, that the angels are like animals, but they also go on forever, which is interesting. That's, you say, what's the difference between them and just the animals down here? I think that's the big difference, is that they go on forever. They either are forever the elect angels in heaven, or they're forever going to be in hell. You know, they're going to be cast down to hell into chains of darkness, right? And so that'll be another sermon for another day, dealing with where are they and stuff like that. But Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So very similar to what it says about the seraphims in Isaiah 6 and the fact that they're saying, holy, holy, holy. But it, also, they have six wings. But here we see that each one of them looks a little different, right? The cherubims, each of them had four faces. And their four faces were what? A lion, an eagle, a man, and an ox. And this we see, instead of an ox, you see a calf. Same animal, though, okay? So a calf is obviously just a young ox, if you will. So same animals that are being represented there, which I do believe those four animals do represent the four gospels. Another sermon for another day. Okay, as far as the theme of each gospel has to do with those four types of animals. But we see that each one of them, that they, I believe each have one face, but they have six wings. And so those are the seraphims. And also know this, is that when Revelation 6 is being read, and it says the first beast said, you know, you open the first seal and it says the first beast said, come and see. Those are the seraphims talking, come and see. Now, I remember getting, this is before I had, you know, the best person to be reading the Bible, which is Alexander Scorby. I got this dramatized version of like CDs of the Bible. This is before MP3s, this is before any of that stuff, you know. But I had this dramatized version. I think that my parents got me for Christmas or something like that. And when it got to that point in Revelation, it would be like this dramatized thing. It's like, come and see. And it was just like this, like, demonic type of voice going on there, right? And I'm like, those are good angels there. Now, I'm not saying they don't, like, listen, when they speak, it says that they speak as if it's many waters. Like, but it says it's like the Lord Almighty, actually. In Ezekiel, when they speak, it says it's like the Lord that's speaking. And we see that when Jesus speaks, what's it like? Many waters. So, you know, I just remember that. I'm always, every time I read through Revelation 6, I'm like, I just think of that dramatized version where it's like taking these seraphims and making it sound like they're the Antichrist or something speaking to you, you know? And it was just very dark and like ominous and like, and I'm not saying it's not terrifying because people will tremble before the angels and all of that stuff, right? But in the end, I don't think they sound like that. You know, I think they're going to sound more magnifical, if you will. Like it's going to be, maybe you'll be afraid of it, but I don't think you're going to be like, this is the devil speaking to me right now, right? Like the devil speaking to me. No. So when it comes to that, just know that when you're reading that and you see the four beasts that are basically saying, come and see, that's the seraphims. You know, you're dealing with the seraphims. They're the ones that are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know, that those are the beasts. So when you see the term beast, I think when people hear the term beast, they think Antichrist. And I get it, right? Because, you know, the Antichrist is called the beast. But he's called a beast because he's an animal, right? Obviously, he's a human being, but he has the heart of a beast. Okay, so that's why he's called that. He's got a heart of an animal, if you will. So when you see the term beast, sometimes I think it kind of has that connotation of like being some like really like kind of wicked thing. I get it. Brute beast, the Antichrist is the beast. But it's not always dealing with that. Sometimes it just talks about them like getting on a beast. He got on his beast and he went into town. It's like nothing nefarious about that. Nothing. The animal is not necessarily wicked, you know. It's just saying it's an animal, okay? So anyway, going on from that, go to to get off the seraphims and cherubims. But I did want to, I mean, if you're going to talk about the appearance of angels, you kind of have to look at those, right? And in your homework, you can really go down the line in Ezekiel and really just kind of think about all those different details about it if you want to. Second Kings chapter 6. Another thing that I see is dealing with fire, but chariots of fire, dealing with angels. And so a lot of times with angels, I think we just picture it just being like the being, the angel, like as a being. But they also, a lot of times, are on chariots with horses, okay? So I just want you to see that and just see, okay, sometimes when you see angels or if you were to see the angels, they're not just flying around with their wings. They're actually maybe on a chariot with horses, okay? And notice in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, this is dealing with Elisha and his servant, and this is where God basically opens this young man's eyes to see what's, kind of see the spiritual realm, if you will. Verse 15 there, it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So when you're seeing this, I believe you're dealing with angels that are, I don't believe it's just chariots with no one on them, right? Like there's just horses and chariots just roaming around with no one on the chariot. I believe the angels are on the chariots. And go to 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2. This kind of goes back to when Elijah was taken up into heaven, okay, which Elisha saw. So when you think about it, Elisha already saw that. This young man didn't. And so he's saying, open his eyes so that he can see what's, when he says that there's more with us than with them, he's not just saying that. It's true. Meaning in the spiritual realm, there's more on Elisha's side and this young man's side than that's in that whole host of the army. And verse 11, so 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, and it came to pass as they went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, I already kind of talked about this when we were talking about like the job of angels, but one of the jobs of angels is transportation, right? You know, think about like the fact that the angels carry Lazarus to Abraham, and obviously Abraham embraces him in his bosom. But then also the angels are going to carry all of us to Jesus when we're caught up into the clouds, right? He's going to send his angels to gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so that there's this form of transportation. Could very well be that it's kind of like an Elisha or Elijah situation where when those angels come, it's like flaming chariots of fire that are gathering together the elect. It doesn't state that, but we have a case where it happened. And I mean, wouldn't you say that Elijah, obviously he wasn't bodily resurrected, but it kind of pictures the resurrection a little bit. Think about Enoch. Enoch was translated that he did not see death. Okay? Obviously, his body isn't in heaven because there's only one who has ascended up into heaven bodily, and that's the Lord Jesus at the moment. But that pictures how we're changed in the moment of twinkling of an eye. And then Elijah being caught up in a whirlwind with this chariot of fire and the fiery horses there, that does kind of picture how the angels are going to gather together his elect. So sometimes you can see, okay, when we are raptured, there's a lot going on. We're being changed. We're being caught up into the clouds, but maybe not just caught up just as you think like what we would imagine an angel be with like white wings and someone that's like just looks like a man that's grabbing you and taking you up, but more so like a chariot of fire coming to grab you to take you up into the clouds. And again, that's just speculation. It doesn't say all that, but we do have a case where Elijah was caught up that way. Why couldn't we be caught up that way, right? And so that could very well be the case. Go to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. Like, we're really getting deep now. We were in Ezekiel. Now we're going to Zechariah. But Zechariah chapter 6, what I want to show you here is that it's very interesting that angels dealing with chariots and horses is used actually quite a lot. And just something that maybe I never really... I've noticed it, but I never really looked into it until doing a sermon like this to really see it and kind of think about it. But in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. And in the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." Now, you say, well, it doesn't say angels. Yeah, but he maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And the idea that, go to Revelation chapter 7, I believe this is exactly what we're talking about here, is that when we're talking about these four chariots that are the spirits of the heavens, right? The four spirits of the heavens. Well, think about it. When you're thinking about the heavens, obviously you can think about like this first heaven where you have the birds flying and everything else, and the fact that there's four winds of the earth. And in Revelation 7, verse 1, it says, "After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." So here it clearly says four angels that are on the four corners of the earth. Now, corners can mean quadrants. It doesn't mean like the earth is flat and there's four corners to it, like it's a big square, okay? Which they say it's a disc, then they say it's a square, and then they have some weird thing that's going on there. But anyway, when you think about this, the four winds of the earth, we all know what? North, south, east, west. North, south, east, west is what you're dealing with when you're dealing with the four directions, the four winds. And so I think that Zechariah 6 and Revelation 7 are very much linked in the fact that you're dealing with these spirits, you know, these four spirits of the heavens that have these chariots that have different, even the horses look different, right? And so the thing to think about with this, and really this is more of a thought process type of sermon, is that there might be more variety out there than you think when it comes to the angels. Like, I think when we think of angels, we just think of like just this monolith of like, this is what an angel looks like, that's it. But yet, there's differences between the cherubims and the seraphims. There's differences even within the horses that are on the chariots of fire, right? And You know, there's angels that are specifically for the four winds of the earth. There's angels that are specifically at the throne. There's all kinds of different angels, and I don't believe that they're necessarily all made the same. And you say, well, how many different types of angels are there? I don't know. Again, there's some things that, you know, we won't know until later. Now, like I said, you know, the half has not been told. And I think really what we're given is what we need, right? You say, well, you know, do we need this information about the four spirits of the heavens and these four chariots? Apparently we need that information. But I do think that we'll probably see a lot of things where we're like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. Or seeing all these different variations and all that stuff, okay? So just like this, I mean, have you seen every animal that's been created? Can anyone say that they've seen every type of creature that God has ever created, right? I mean, so if we can't even say that in the physical world that we're at, then to say that in the spiritual realm, you know, I don't think we can say that. So there's so much stuff that's undiscovered. But I think in the end, we have everything we need in the Bible. We have everything we need to know about angels and about devils, everything we need to know, okay? So going on from that, also, another thing that I noticed with the angels is that a lot of times they're carrying swords. So they're armed in a lot of cases. Go to Genesis chapter 3, going all the way back to Genesis. I don't have this one in my notes, but when David numbers the people, it talks about the angel basically with a sword drawn on the threshold of Ornon the Jebusite, I think. I'm saying it was on someone's threshold. I think it was Ornon or something like that. Aronon or, I don't know. Anyway, look it up later. But the idea of these angels having swords is something that's brought up. In verse 24 of Genesis chapter 3, so obviously man has fallen. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They're being kicked out of the garden. And in verse 24, it says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, and a flaming sword was turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, I believe there's four cherubims there, and they all had a sword, and they were guarding every way, essentially. Now, if you remember, what's at the east of Eden? This is bonus material. There's four rivers coming out of the Garden of Eden. Do you remember which river was coming out of the east? Euphrates. And there are four angels that are in the river Euphrates when God blows the sixth trumpet, and he looses those four angels, and, you know, so on and so forth, okay? And so I personally believe those are the angels, right? That the Garden of Eden is like underwater in the river Euphrates. And obviously with the flood and all that stuff, that there was something going on there. Anyway, but either way, at some point they had swords and they were guarding the Garden of Eden. Guarding the Garden of Eden. So say that 10 times fast. So go to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22, another place, is when you're dealing with Balaam. So Balaam, this is the story with Balaam and his ass and the fact that God was angry with him because he went. He's angry because he told Balaam, if they come and send for you, then you can go. And they don't come and send for him. He just gets up and goes. Okay, so that's why God's angry with him. That, and he's a false prophet. But that being said, is that God's angry with him, and he's basically about to slay him. And the only thing that saves him is his donkey, his ass, that's basically sees this angel. It says in verse 22, it says, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Okay, so this goes on. Eventually, basically, he goes into the place where the ass has to fall back on him and stuff like that. And then Then they start talking to each other, and Balaam doesn't think that's a big deal, right? You know, it's like, why did you smite me? And he's like, if I had a sword in my hand, I would slay thee. It's like, wouldn't you, like, be more concerned that the donkey's talking to you, right? I mean, at that point, wouldn't you be like, hey, why are you talking to me? But that being said, the angel of the Lord was going to kill him, and he had a sword drawn. Something else to think about this, too, is the fact that the animal saw the angel. And it makes you think, too, sometimes that maybe animals can see things or, like, sense things that maybe we can't. This could very well just be the fact of, like, a special condition. I mean, it's obviously a special condition that the ass was speaking to Balaam, right? That doesn't happen every day. I know Mr. Ed was a show, but it was a made-up show. They just put peanut butter in his mouth, okay? Only a few of you maybe got that reference. Does anyone remember Mr. Ed? Okay, thank you. Okay. Just, we're all like, reruns? That was black and white, okay? It was a horse that talked, okay? Anyway. but that was not real. So we see that they have swords. They're basically, obviously, when it says that their ministers are flaming fire, you do see that, don't you? With the cherubims, you see that with the flaming fires of chariots and horses, and you can see that. Now, the thing that I think, the biggest thing that we think about is the fact that they can appear like us. They can appear like a man. And to where it looks like it's just another human being. And go to Genesis chapter 18, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 18. And this is the last thing we're going to get into, and then we'll be done, is the fact that I do believe they can appear like a human being, okay? So you see the cherubim is like, well, I would know if I saw that. It's like, well, yeah, you know, if you saw a cherubim with four wings, four faces, calves feet, and looked like a big flaming fire, right? You'd be like, yeah, that's a cherubim over there, right? And or a seraphim or like flaming chariots of fire that are going up and down the mountains. You'd like, I assess that is an angel, right? But it's more so when they more so just look like human beings. Okay. Now, I'll state this. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great deal if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And so you could take that as just talking about, you know, false apostles, because it does talk about false apostles in there. But I think it's basically equating, like, as people can transform themselves into false apostles, the devil does the same thing where he transforms himself into an angel of light, okay? And so I think that there is this idea of the fact that the angels can make themselves appear like a man, okay? Case in point is, I believe, the story with Abraham at the time, Abram, where God meets him in the plain, and he has two men with him. And God also is appearing to him as a man, okay? Now, it doesn't say he's claiming to be Melchizedek here, but it could very well be the case. But in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, I'm not going to read the whole story, but just give you some verses here. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent, door in the heat of the day, and he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him." And this is something you're going to see a lot, where there's an angel there, but it said there's a man there, right? They saw a man, but it's an angel, okay? "But three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground." And the story is basically he has Sarah go make food and everything else, and they're sitting there, and he's bringing them in. One of them is the Lord, though. It says the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and it says he looked up and there were three men that stood by him. Okay, so one's the Lord, two, as of right now, just two men with him. Okay, it says in verse 20, it says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now, when it comes to this, the two men, this is where he's going to have this discussion with God about if I find 50 righteous, 45, all the way down to 10, right? And he says, I will not destroy it for 10, right? But before he has that whole conversation, the two men, it says the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. So how many men? Two men, right? Because there were three that he met with at his tent door. One's the Lord. The Lord's still talking to him. And then the men that were with the Lord went down to Sodom. First verse in chapter 19. So chapter 18, 19 comes after. First verse. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Now, do you think that's a coincidence? When he says that basically he's going down to Sodom to see if this cry is true, right? And the two men leave him. And then the next verse in the next chapter is two angels came into Sodom. And we know they're angels. You know the story as far as they blind the men at the door and they're taking Lot and his wife and his two daughters out by the hand out of Sodom, right? So they appear like men, but yet they're angels. Here's another place, Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, dealing with Gabriel. Now, in the New Testament, we know that Gabriel's an angel, right? Is there any doubt that Gabriel's an angel? Because in Luke 1, it says the angel answered, Luke 1:19, you're going to Daniel 8. Luke 1:19 says, the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And then even to Mary, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So clearly, Gabriel is an angel that stands in the presence of the Lord. And you'll see that, obviously, when you're dealing with the four spirits of the heavens, right, that stand in the presence of the Lord. And you'll see that the fact that the angels are there in his presence. Even we're talking about how I believe each one of us has specific angels assigned to us. Do you remember the angels of the little children do always behold the face of my Father, right? You know, the fact that those angels are always in his presence, okay? And you'll kind of see that over and over again where these angels, these ministering spirits are in the presence of the Lord, and then he sends them out to give a message or to do some type of work, okay? But in Daniel chapter 8, verse 15, it says, and it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So basically, he sees this guy that looks like a man, and then he hears a voice saying, you know, Gabriel, tell this man this vision, right? So Gabriel's going to basically communicate with him what this vision is all about. I'm not getting into the vision for sake of time. That's another sermon for another day. Go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. Daniel 9, verse 21. It says, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. So he's talking about the same guy that he saw before, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So you have the man Gabriel flying swiftly to him, and you see that obviously he has the appearance of a man, but he's an angel. Okay. Now, I don't know if Gabriel's a cherubim, if he's a seraphim, or if he's just different, you know? And same thing with Michael. I don't know about Michael the archangel. I just know he's an archangel, okay? And so I don't know as far as, like, what if their appearance is different than the cherubims or the seraphims or anything like that. I do know one thing is that they can appear like a human being. They can look like a human, okay? And this is where the last verse I'll show you here. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I personally do believe this verse is talking about celestial angels, okay? When I mean that is meaning like the angels that are ministering spirits, not human beings. A big reason why I believe this is talking about that is because the whole book of Hebrews is talking about angels that are celestial, right? Because it keeps saying, until once the angel said to you at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And he says, you know, unto which the angel said to you at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And you know, if the word spoken by his angels was steadfast, how much more, you know, obviously if it's the Lord speaking. And then it says that he had not given it unto angels. You know, it talks about, like, he's basically differentiating humans from angels throughout the whole book. As far as the fact that we're talking about man versus angels. He did not take on the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, right? There's just this complete delineation between that to where I don't believe it. All of a sudden in chapter 13, we're talking about, like, messengers. Like, obviously, angel can mean a messenger, and it can mean someone that's a saved person, like a pastor or different type of messenger like that, like the seven angels of the seven churches. And they can be called angels and all that stuff. But just in context, it would be kind of this odd leap to go from talking about these celestial beings and then all of a sudden we're talking about like pastors or something like that. Okay. I get where people are coming from with this, but I personally think that we're talking about you're actually running into the celestial angels. Okay. Because it says in Hebrews 13:1, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, for that to be unawares, you know, and if we're talking about celestial beings, is that they have to look like people. They have to look like us, right? For you to be, if you saw a cherubim with a wheel that's following it around, you know, no cloak is going to cloak that, right? Like, you got this guy with this massive cloak, his wings are like popping out of it. And you know, like, don't look at my feet. I got to think about my feet. You know, you see this calf's foot. You're like, what is going on there? You know, and then the cloak catches on fire because they're, you know, they're just you know, it happened again. You know, you caught me. I don't think that's what's going on. You know, I think that obviously they can transform themselves into looking like man. Okay, and so they can talk. They can understand. You know, obviously, that type of thing. And so, when it talks about, though, like, for example, Stephen had the appearance, his face was like the face of an angel. I believe what that's stating is that these angels, obviously, when you look at all these appearances, it's kind of like this amazing, astonishing, magnifical type of, like brightness, sparkle, you know, countenance to them. And I think when it states something like that, it's basically stating, like, they were kind of just like, it's kind of like when Moses' face shone, or there's just kind of like this glow. You kind of hear that when women are pregnant, right? You're like, you're glowing, you know? Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I've never really noticed the glowingness of pregnant women, but, you know, the ladies seem to notice it. But, you know, sometimes there is this countenance change to where you can notice, like, hey, there's obviously a difference there. So, you know, There's definitely other passages in the Bible of people running into angels. A lot of times they think they're God. Like, they're confusing them with the Lord. They're like, we have seen the face of God, and it was an angel, okay? So they definitely have this prowess, if you will, this countenance, this look as if they could be the Lord, right? And if you think about it, those three men that met the Lord, that met Abraham, one of them was the Lord, and two of them were angels. And so, you know, it's just something to think. It's just something interesting to think about. But I do believe that people run into angels still today that look like people. You know, if they're preaching, if they ever are preaching the gospel, they're not angels, okay? Because you'll never see like angels preaching the gospel. The closest you'll get to that is where an angel brings down the everlasting gospel for it to be preached on the earth. But I believe it's other people that are gonna be preaching it, right? So I don't believe that angel specifically is preaching it, okay? It talks about the angels desiring to look into it, but, you know, they're not going to win people to Christ, okay? They help lead people like Cornelius to someone that can lead them to Christ. But anyway, the appearance, read Ezekiel and mull on that for a few days as far as those cherubim. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the soul saved. Thank you for keeping us safe and out of harm's way. I pray that you continue to do that. Keep all our soul winners safe and keep our church safe And Lord, we just know that if God be for us, who could be against us? And Lord, we pray that you'd be with us throughout the rest of this week. Bring us back at the appointed time. We love you and pray also in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Dave will come sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.
All right, take your songbooks and turn to song number 48. Song number 48. And your songbooks will sing, "I'll Be So Glad." If you would stand, we'll sing song number 48.
I'll be so glad when day is done. I'll be so glad when victory's won. There'll be no sorrow when God's tomorrow. I'll be so glad when Jesus comes.
You are dismissed.